Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. This is show number 344 for May 31st, 2014. Well, thank you for taking your time out of your busy day and joining us for the Home Base Travel Agent Show. My name is Barry Kantz, and I am the host of your show, and Lorraine Romero is out there, and she's the co-host, and we are going to have today a new topic for the Home Base Travel Agent Show. We are going to talk about Africa. So stand by for that coming up here shortly. We're going to have a segment talking about African adventures and safaris and how you as a travel agent can profit from that. And I do want to mention that we're a proud affiliate of NACTA, the National Association of Commissioned Travel Agents. So thank you, NACTA. And if you want to contact me, you can contact me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And Coco there in the background, if you want to contact him, it's Coco at hometravelagent.net. I've got the windows open. We have a beautiful day here in western Michigan, and it's no other way to have it when you live in Michigan. When you have a nice day like this, then you got to have the windows open. You know, I was listening to the radio the other morning, and an interesting travel product, they were talking about an interesting travel product, and I thought, well, gee, I'll mention that here because it sounded pretty interesting. It'll be a good client service, I think. I haven't looked into it in any great detail, but what it is, it's air care insurance, and it's offered through Berkshire Hathaway Travel Protection, and what it does, it covers your flight, basically, for just $25. Now, this is something that you might want to offer your client, and it does appear that Berkshire Hathaway Travel Insurance works with travel agents. Now, I know you're not going to make a whole lot of money on a $25 travel insurance package, but, you know, it could make your clients really happy. And what really intrigued me about this is that it's kind of automatic. If your flight is delayed, you automatically receive a payment. So if there's a delay, you automatically receive a $50 payment, and it's triggered just due to the delay, and the money goes right into your bank, into the bank account, right into the flyer's bank account. Now, that's if the flight is delayed by 2 hours or more. They'll transfer $50 into your bank account. And if you miss a connection due to a flight delay, they'll instantly arrange a transfer of $500 into the flyer's bank account. Now, that's not too bad. And they also have a couple other features here. One is a bag backer. If your luggage is delayed, they'll transfer $500 into the flyer's bank account. And if your luggage is lost, they'll transfer $1,000 into the account, into your bank account automatically. And then as an added bonus here that they talk about on their website, if your plane sits on the tarmac with you in it for more than 2 hours, they'll credit your bank account with $1,000. This coverage costs $25, and I'm assuming it's $25 each way. Not too bad, I don't think. And like anything else, there's an app for it. So your clients can put an app on their phone, and the app will tell them if their connection is delayed or their departure is delayed. And if money is going to head for their bank account, the app will tell them that too. So it's kind of interesting. A unique way to sell travel insurance, a unique way to package it, I should say. Something you might look into to make your clients happy, at least sometimes. And, you know, here in West Michigan, when we fly out of here, particularly in the wintertime, this is something I might do because last January we attempted to fly down to Florida, and it was an awful mess. And if I would have had this insurance, I would have gotten $500. I do want to add, and this goes for anything that you hear on this show, that what we talk about here is something that we do because we think it's an interesting product or service, and it's not because we're getting paid to do it. We receive no money or any other form of compensation for talking about a product on here, and if we do talk about a product and we are going to get compensated for it, we'll let you know that. But this air care coverage looked like kind of an interesting thing to spend a couple minutes to talk with you about. So with that, what I want to do is get on into this segment where we're going to talk about Africa and African safaris. And we have Howie Perlin from African Travels joining us here, so we're going to move right into that. Here we go.
Well, welcome to the co-hosted segment of the Home-Based Travel Agent Show, and we're missing Laureen today. Laureen's missing in action. Actually, we're recording the show at a little different time than we normally do, and we couldn't work it in with Laureen's schedule. She's a very busy person, so we're doing it without our personality here today. So anyhow, but we are doing something different. We are going to have a topic that we've never had before on the Home-Based Travel Agent Show, and I think you're going to find it very interesting because the topic has to do with a great place to travel to, and a lot of travel agents don't think too much about it. And our guest today is Howie Perlin, and I'd like to have Howie introduce himself here on the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. Howie?
Thank you, Barry, and also thanks to Laureen, who did at least set this up, and she is missing in action today here, but I can guarantee, knowing her as you do, Barry, she is in action someplace else, and
yes.
I really appreciate the opportunity and your and NACTA's facility to reach out to the travel people that are hard for us sales reps to get to, and looking forward to both educating people around Africa in general and the world of safaris, as well as a bit about African Travel Incorporated, the company I'm currently working for, a veteran African company. And speaking of veterans, I've been in the business only almost 40 years myself.
Oh.
So, and I've been an agent also, so my hat's off to all the agents in the audience as well.
Wonderful.
So, The history of African travel, very briefly, is we've been doing Africa only for about 38 years. We do mostly East and Southern Africa, and our primary focus is safaris. And if everybody will open the brochure to page... Oh, wait a second. Not everybody has a brochure handy yet. You'll all be going to the website later. Anyway, what I want to do is introduce a little bit about what a safari is, and then who is good to go on safari, what the qualifying things are, what some of the objections might be, why you need to book early, and then how to work with us to enable people to go on safaris. And I guess the most important thing, you know, having been an agent and having done, you know, lots of training of agents, people are hesitant about selling Africa, or maybe selling any destination you're not familiar with. I am not a safari expert. Let me put that out there. When I'm on sales calls or trade shows, I get to dress like one, and I have been to Africa a number of times. I would not consider myself a safari expert, nor do we expect any travel agent to be an expert, unless you're the, you know, one out of 100 that truly is a specialist, and you go to conferences over there, and you've been there a bazillion times. What I want, Barry, and everybody listening out of this conversation, is to make you comfortable enough so that when somebody says, gee, we're thinking about Africa, or our neighbor just came back from Africa, instead of going, oh, I don't know anything about how to sell it, you go, yes, I do know something about Africa, and more importantly, I know the people that can arrange the perfect trip for you. Then you ask them a few qualifying questions. Is it the first time they're going? You know, do they have any specific dates? The usual qualifying things. Maybe do they need air arranged? We have a great air department. You know, that kind of thing. Children going. Africa is children friendly. You know, those kinds of questions to open up if there are any objections. And then we want to move into more directly finding out what their idea of Africa is. Here's one of the things that I want to explain the difference between East Africa and South or Southern Africa. They're very different destinations. So when you're talking to a client and they're saying, or you're asking them, when do you close your eyes? What do you see when you think of Africa? And they say, well, I see lions, and I see elephants, and I see hippos, and I see gerenooks, and I see rhinos. In other words, if they're seeing animals, 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 and animals, they're probably thinking about East Africa. Typical first-timer's trip is either East Africa or South Africa. And East Africa, we're talking Kenya, Tanzania, because the focus there is not the cities, because there hardly are any cities, but it's all about the game. It's all about being out in the bush. If their answer is, I want to see animals, and I also want to see the culture and modern history, and I really would love, I've heard Cape Town is a lovely city, and with the recent death of Mandela, I'd like to, you know, feel a little more of that history and experience it, then we're probably talking South Africa. Having said that, if somebody, you know, wants both, South Africa has plenty of animals in it. You can have a full animal experience in South Africa or Southern Africa, but it just gets mixed in with more cultural events and modern history and wine tasting pretty good in South Africa as well. So variety versus animals only is the oversimplification. And okay, by the way, among the reference sheets that we have available on our website, when you go to the African Travel Inc. website, in the very lower right-hand corner, you'll see the travel agent section. And when you register there, you can download things to give your clients that include the differences between Southern Africa and East Africa, as well as some basic safari questions or what animals you can see where and when. If somebody says, you know, I just got to see the white rhino before I die, you can tell them, well, if you want to see the white rhino, you're going to a private reserve in South Africa, end of story, as well as weather and qualifying questions. Another question that people might bring up is, I want to see the migration. When is the migration? When can I go? Well, the best time to go to Africa is pretty much whenever your clients want to go, because the migration, which takes place in East Africa, and that's the herds of wildebeest, along with about 10% zebra mixed in with them, they're migrating because they munch up all the grass in one place, and then they move on to the next place. So they're constantly in motion from Tanzania up into the southwestern edge of Kenya, and then back to Tanzania. So the migration goes on all the time. I mean, you know, think of a herd of cows that was 1.5 million, and they keep moving in groups of several thousand. That's the migration. One other thing on safari that people need to know about is, when we say you're staying in a tented camp, we are not talking about going car camping. The facilities are, as they say, en suite. Nobody's taking a walk at 3 o'clock in the morning, should you ever need to get up for any reason at 3 o'clock in the morning, 60 yards to a campground facility. Everything is en suite, and these are deluxe. They're luxury. They're very comfortable. It's like a designed hotel room, but one end is open to the savanna or to the salt lick or to whatever wonderful site it has been built to. So the kinds of safaris that African Travel Incorporated does are both tented and lodges. Of course, in your city, we're doing, you know, a hotel stay. And a lodge, when we use the word lodge in Africa, we're talking about a boutique hotel. 20 rooms or so is kind of the maximum for it. A safari experience. It is adventure, and adventure travel is huge. You know, and the prime targets, your clients for safari are, you know, baby boomers. We want experiential stuff. We don't want to see the world through a windshield. We want to get up close and personal with nature. Safari is absolutely it. So it is absolutely an adventure trip. I mean, to be, you know, 4 or 5 feet away from a lioness who's walking by your safari vehicle and not paying any attention to you whatsoever because she's seen it before, you know, nothing exciting. That's pretty adventurous, eh?
Yeah.
However, it's not arduous. Okay, in Sales Rep 101, they teach us, you know, to tell a relevant story. So we're doing a presentation at an agency, at a facility, and there's this 90-year-old former World War II bomber pilot wanting to go on safari, and his kids are there trying to talk him out of it. And I'm going, no, let's see, can you get up into an SUV with a little help maybe? He goes, yeah. Okay, well, that's a safari vehicle. Can you walk, you know, 50, 100 yards to dinner? Okay, that's a trip from your room or your tent to the dinner table. And, you know, can you get on and off a small airplane if somebody gives you a boost? Sure. Probably the only qualifying question that could be an issue, it wasn't in this gentleman's case, and we did convince his kids that he'd have a great time if this was his dream of a lifetime at age 90. But speaking of objections, there is a very realistic one, probably two. One is expense. There's no $399 special to Africa. You can't do it in 5 days from the continental United States. You're talking a minimum 9 full days in country to have a sufficient taste of what it has to offer, and you're talking about a day and a half travel time in both directions. So the objection is, if somebody absolutely can't take a 10-hour flight anymore, you know, there's no way to sell around that. And the price has got to be realistic. You know, if they've got a beer budget, they're not going to be sipping any wine or beer in Africa. Speaking of the flights, we've got an excellent air department that will find the best available for you, depending on, you know, mileage programs and stuff like that. But any way you slice it, you're either nonstop off the East Coast with Delta or South Africa for a 15.5 or 16.5 hour jaunt going out, or you're connecting in one of the European hubs and then a nonstop to Nairobi or Johannesburg, for example. So a pair of 10-hour flights, a 6 or 7 hour flight if you're coming from where I am on the West Coast, you got to be able to handle long flights that follow that. But otherwise, as long as you're healthy, you are good to go, and it is the experience of a lifetime. It's on virtually everybody's bucket list for good reason. You can't see the things you see there anyplace else. So when somebody says, what do you know about Africa, encourage them to go if you haven't been yourself. How many have been? Okay, I see a couple of hands up there. That's really good, you know. And people are coming back with stories more and more to make Africa a popular and a hot destination. South Africa in particular right now is really, really popular. I think we've talked about the qualifying. If you have any questions, please just call our res department. They will be happy to refer you to the right department or answer the questions. They are the experts. And you know, if we want to know how, if I want to tell you how to work with us, download the qualifying questions off the website, chat up the client a little bit, and then have a three-way conversation between one of our true safari experts, yourself, and your client to help them design the safari experience, the African experience of their lifetime, to also let them ask all the bazillion questions that they want to ask that you and I don't have the answers to, and have the authority answer them for them and answer all the questions they didn't know to ask. And when I say authority and when I say expert, everybody in operations, everybody in reservations, everybody on the air desk, and even our wonderful marketing support person goes to Africa every 12 to 18 months.
Well,
we make that investment. Yeah, that's pretty unusual. And we can do that, Barry, because we only do Africa. So whomever you're talking to is a specialist in the destination you're calling about. And if they haven't been to a particular camp or a particular country recently, you can be assured that the person in the, you know, next to them has. Many of them are either from African countries or have worked there and certainly have been there, you know, numerous times. And they all are there in support of the professional travel community. We don't solicit direct bookings. We don't put any marketing money into advertising to the general public. You are our distribution channel, And again, we appreciate this opportunity to educate you a little bit about the company and about going to Africa, and really invite you to talk to one of the folks. They will just help answer all the questions, design to the price point that you need to meet for your client, answer their questions, and this is really the nicest part. When we hold a three-way conversation, we help you close 80% of the sales. That's pretty high closing ratio, eh?
That's good.
Barry, you want to jump in with any questions about anything I've said at this point?
Yeah, it sounds like you take care of your clients just about as soon as they step off the airplane and right up until they get back on the airplane at the end of their trip. Is that right?
That is all correct, but you remind me of something there that it's even way before. Oh, I wish I had television now. if I was still in retail, to touch on a really hot-button issue that I know you all have, and let's say I was sending some people on a 10th anniversary cruise, and they were blowing it out and getting the captain's cabin and spending $20,000, and the vendor told me to print out their documents. Well, I don't need to remind you of something that really bends you out of shape. We are very old-fashioned in that regard. A box comes to you. In that box is hats for everybody, a really, really deluxe flight bag for everybody, an itinerary that is a bound document with pictures of the properties they'll be staying in, maybe even pictures of the specific animals they'll see. Here's George the hippo. He's waiting for you. Well, no, I exaggerate. But seriously, it's got all the contact information, visa information, shot recommendations. It's a permanent record. Plus, there's a flashlight. And, you know, for those of you newer to the business, there used to be a thing called a document wallet. And we have a zippered inch-and-a-half thick wallet in which they can put all their travel documents. And it will not only last through one trip, it will last through 20 trips. It's very old-fashioned stuff, and we're very proud to do that because of somebody spending, you know, $6,000-$8,000 per person or more. They deserve to feel that way. Okay, Howie, get off your soapbox and back to business here. We're also old-fashioned in that we will design it to their specifications. That means we are a custom shop.
Okay.
When you get our brochure, every itinerary in there is merely a suggestion. And of course, after almost 40 years, we got a pretty good idea of what, you know, what's good to do and what's a really groovy itinerary, but we are happy to flex them. Half the things we do have been tweaked in one way or another. Would you like Victoria Falls with that? Of course. Do you have a second cousin on your brother's side in Cape Town and you want an extra day in Cape Town to go wine tasting with them? Of course. Can we reverse the order on that? Of course. So we're very flexible. Of course, we'll also say if somebody comes in with what we know to be a bad idea, we'll tell you and them politely, that's a really bad idea. But if you do it this way, it will work out, you know, just perfectly. So before, after, every step of the way, your clients are well taken care of. And coming back to some basic definitions, we are custom FIT doing almost entirely high-level hosted. And by that I mean these are not escorted trips because you really don't need an escort except when you're transferring. Let me explain that a little bit.
Okay.
Let's say we're going on safari in Kenya. Okay, you get off the plane, somebody meets you coming out of customs, arranges you, takes you, transfers to your hotel so you can get a good night's sleep in a real bed, takes you back to the hotel, back to the airport in the morning, and puts you on the bush plane. When you get out in the bush and land at a bush airstrip, a representative from the tented camp or the lodge is waiting for you. They become your escorts. They become your hosts. They become the people that organize your daily activities while you're in that camp. So you don't need somebody along with you, you know, all the time. So that's what we mean by hosted, not escorted. Escorts really aren't necessary. You just need somebody available and somebody to help you with your transfers, whether that's, you know, in and out of a city or from one camp to another. So you're never alone when you need it. And the lodges arrange the activities. Let's talk a little bit about the activities. A day, and again, coming back to page 12, you really need to see what a day on safari is like. But the main thing is I want you to understand the difference between, you know, an insight or a Trafalgar trip where the day is greatly organized and you're moving as a group on a schedule, and what happens when you go out on a game drive. First of all, you know, if you're on a European trip, nobody's going to be knocking on your door at 5:30 in the morning saying, here's your coffee, the vehicle is leaving. Well, the animals don't work our schedule. They are active early in the morning, late in the afternoon, and some of them active only at night. So if you want to see them, you got to, you know, get up on their schedule. So somebody will tap on your door or just rap on the wooden floor of your permanent tented structure, give you a little coffee, a pastry. You'll go on your safari for about 2 hours or so, and then come back and have your full breakfast. And that gets repeated in the late afternoon and into the evening. When I say they're adventurous but not arduous, they're downright relaxing. Part of being on safari is, you know, in the afternoon before your game drive, just sitting on your veranda, reading a book, watching Mr. Elephant go by, looking out at the savannah, and taking a nap, maybe even taking a walking safari during the day to see the little critters and the bird life. Birders, if any of you have birders as your clients, Africa's off the charts for them, just off the charts. When you're out on a game drive, and the wonder of this, people might pepper you with questions. Well, what am I going to see? Am I going to see this? Am I going to see that? Will I see a kill? Will I see animals mating? Maybe. Will I see a mother tending to her young? Maybe. We don't know. That's the adventure. You may drive 60 yards and come upon something that's just amazing. Or you might drive for 45 minutes and not see a damn thing. But when you see something, and this is what I really want to impress on you so you can impress it on your clients, that whatever that sight is, you know, a mama elephant washing her, you know, her baby elephant, you will stay there in your safari vehicle, where just about everybody has a window seat. If the safari vehicles had windows, they'd have a window seat. So you're there, clicking away, soaking up that incredible memory, imprinting it, watching it as long as it's of interest until everybody is in the vehicle has had their fill, taken all the shots they want, gone ooh and ah, and isn't that amazing until you don't have another ooh left in you, or until the animals get bored with being the object of your attention and they wander away. In other words, you will go out with trackers and rangers, find what is to be found that day, and nobody will say, okay, ladies and gentlemen, the hippos are expecting us in about 20 minutes, so we have to move along now. It's an adventure of a lifetime. If you have an opportunity to travel with anyone to Africa, encourage them. When your clients say, I'm interested in Africa, encourage them to go. It is an experience of a lifetime. Two other things that follow on with that is 20% of the people that go to Africa go back. That's huge. I mean, I've been to the pyramids myself 4 times, but, you know, that's because I've been involved with selling the pyramids, and I love it. But for most people, that kind of thing is a, you know, once-in-a-lifetime trip. How many clients that you have that have been to Machu Picchu 2 or 3 times, right?
Yeah.
Africa, is every day is different. Every country is different. Botswana is amazing. There are more emerging destinations in Africa. Everybody thinks of South Africa, Kenya, Tanzania. Botswana is really well known and a wonderful destination that is tends to be a little less crowded than others. Namibia is getting known for a completely different kind of environment. Many animals there, but living in a drier environment. We've added 2 new destinations in the past year, new to our catalog, that is. Madagascar, which to my knowledge has been around for a long time, and I know Ethiopia has, you know, been around since, you know, early Jewish and Christian times, and then way before that because of the connection with the roots of, you know, Egyptian history. However, they're new to us for one darn good reason. We will not add a destination, a camp, a country to our catalog until we know that when Barry gets there the day after tomorrow, there's somebody welcoming him with a sign that says, "Hi, Barry," and they take him to a hotel that is as advertised, whether that is a three-star property, a, you know, luxury property, or a premium property. Barry, you're going premium, aren't you?
Oh, you bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I know once Lorene comes, 3 months later, somebody is also at the airport, and the property is also still a premium property, or an upper three-star, whatever it is. Now, in the case of Madagascar and Ethiopia, upper three-star is it. There isn't any better. Don't ask for it. And we're doing it because now we can assure the standards. Having said that, about standards, one important thing about African travel, and I'll talk about the competitive environment a little bit. Our flexibility, we will meet the price point, whether it's moderate, premium, luxury in between, mix and match. You know, there's a guest house near Victoria Falls. The owner was really personal friends with Nelson Mandela. It's got four rooms. It's got a view. It's premium and worth it. Okay, we can do that, and we can put you in a three-star tented camp, you know, elsewhere. So we do not deliver a static product. We deliver a variable, a dynamic product. We can deliver all the bells and whistles that a great company, Mikado, can deliver. We can do everything that A&K can do. And A&K, I used to think of it, you know, it's Africa only. And those are our two major competitors. We still do Africa only. And while I'm talking about competition, I sometimes lose some sales to Tauk. You know, want to know why? Because Tauk has such incredible loyalty, you know. Well, all I can ask of you is to suggest that, yes, they've been on 12 wonderful Tauk trips. Maybe this time they should try going with someone who are experts and only do. And if they still insist on Tauk, that's okay, because all I can ask of any of you is to call us, give us a try, give African Travel, let us put a quote together, see what our people are like. I think you'll appreciate that we're very flexible, that you are our distribution channel, that we will wrap in the air at the best possible, you know, price for you, and that we offer a very, very wide choice in properties. As a footnote, we are part of Travel Corporation. Now, we know Travel Corp here in the United States is, you know, Brendan, Trafalgar, Insight, Uniworld. However, it is a privately held company, South African company, that has its own $20 million bond and owns 25 brands around the world. So an awful lot of security in that, an awful lot of purchasing power. A sister company is Wilderness Safaris. We don't own all of them, only about half. Having said that, we are not beholden to book Wilderness Safari properties. We will, and nobody will beat our price on them if you do, or we do decide that that's the best place for your clients. But we will book whatever is right for your clients. I think that's about it. We've got, you know, that we're a one-stop shop. We've got the resources for you. Africa is a wonderful destination. Go out and promote it. Encourage it. You've hopefully got the clients or know how to reach out to clients who want some adventure. They're still physically capable of that 15-hour flight. They have the budget. They've taken care of the kids. Let's go on safari.
Yeah.
Barry, well, thank you. Any other questions you want to add?
Yeah, how do people get a hold of you? If they, you know, a travel agent's interested in contacting you, how do they go about that?
I would suggest they just, you know, go to our website, African Travel Inc. com or give reservations a holler. There are 5 sales reps, you know, across the country, so hesitant about getting into geography, but all the support that you can need will come through headquarters. Headquarters, by the way, is in Glendale, California. We are proud to be a U.S. company. We function on, you know, pretty much on West Coast time. We're open early and very accessible Monday through Friday. So do go to the website, take a look at the resources available, and any follow-up can be, you know, directed through there.
And that's Monday through Friday Pacific time, right?
Mm-hmm. From, I think there's somebody on as early as 8 a.m., maybe 7:30 a.m., till 5 o'clock West Coast time.
Okay.
So we got you pretty well covered, and you're welcome to call or send in to info@ any inquiries, and we'll be happy to respond. You can also order, of course, brochures on the website, a variety of the handouts I was referring to earlier, qualifying questions, the secrets of the migration, what animals are available, where and when, as well as promo postcards. You know, people forget about the number of ways we can reach out. We tend to be so electronic focused. Send somebody a postcard. We got some wonderful, wonderful picture postcards. Just thinking of you, or how about a safari for your next vacation?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny how a postcard sent in the mail may get people's attention more nowadays than something they may readily dump in their email junk box. So.
Absolutely, and especially if, you know, if it's an arresting picture of a snoozing hippo or an elephant and her baby, that's more likely going on the refrigerator rather than in the garbage.
Right. And you mentioned that you had a video that I might possibly place in the show notes.
Oh, great idea. Yeah, I've got just a loop, because it's such a visual destination. Talking about old-fashioned, we still publish a thick brochure with a lot of pictures in it, because that's what's going to sell it. It's not the description. It's you will see this. You will, you know, look at zebra under the trees. You will go on a safari. Oh, by the way, you know, safari isn't just safari vehicles. When you're on a bush plane and the pilot sees something, they may go down a little lower to take a look at it. So you've got an aerial tour. Who's taken a balloon ride? Africa is a really neat place to do a balloon ride because the animals can't hear you coming.
Oh, yeah.
You can safari on elephant back, on horseback, on foot, by canoe, and by, what else did I leave out? Horseback, elephant back, canoe. Oh, what do they call those things? Paragliding, too. And, you know, or at least look at the falls. Anyway, there are a lot of varieties of safari. When you see the brochure and you see the herds of wildebeest, the zebra, the graceful giraffes, that's what's going to sell it. So I will send you that loop, Barry, to put up for people to, you know, be occupied during the boring parts of listening to the podcast, and that will help them feel comfortable and excited about selling this full destination.
Great. And you can find that video at the show notes at hometravelagent.net, and actually all the show notes are there, and we'll have the video, a link to the video or the video itself pasted right up there in the show notes. And I think it's going to be the video itself, because you're going to actually send me the video file.
Correct.
And if you want to get a hold of me, you can reach me at Barry@hometravelagent.net, and I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS, initials for the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. And I want to thank you, Howie, for being a part of our show. It's you know, you painted a wonderful description of Africa and Africa safaris, and you know, I do hope our travel agent listeners take advantage of that, because it's a great product to sell, and they can make some money doing it.
You know, one thing we forgot to mention?
Yeah.
You can also put a small group together. It functions very well as a small group destination. And, of course, if you get enough people together, we talk TC. We can talk TC at African Travel. So that would be a way for you to get to go.
Okay. Great. Well, once again, thanks a lot, Howie. And we hope to hear from you again here sometime in the future, maybe about a new destination you have there coming up at Africa Travel Incorporated. So thank you.
Thank you, Barry. You're most welcome.
Well, thank you, Howie, for a great segment on African travels, African adventures. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate the time that you took to join us here on the show. And next month, we'll be back with another show, and Laureen will be along with us if her schedule allows. I know she's quite busy, and this is a great time to be busy, to make some extra money out there, as you all, I know, are working hard at as well. So anyhow, with that, what I want to do is wrap the show up, and we'll see you next month with another show. And until then, safe travels, stay healthy, take care, everybody. Bye-bye.